Shalom, saints of God, and welcome back to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my very best friend and minister of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, honey, and shalom to everyone. Tonight and next week, before our yearly sabbatical, we will be detailing the Feast of Hanukkah, also called the Lesser Feast of Dedication, because this feast is also a Christian feast.
Yeah, you should say that again.
Yep, because this very miraculous celebration is more than a Jewish feast. It is a Christian feast, as you will easily see. However, as we have always known, only a remnant of Christians will know the deeper truths of God, as confirmed in the parables, Matthew 13, verse 8. And Dan and I are elated that those listening right now must be part of that remnant.
Amen to that.
So let's begin by giving thanks to our great King and Master of the universe.
Lord, we praise you and give you great thanks for all your many blessings, especially for the lighting the way for our salvation that began 2,000 years ago on the 8th day of Hanukkah. We thank you for the peace unfolding in Lebanon and soon also in Gaza with the hostages being released. Meanwhile, may you comfort them and may they seek your face. We lift up to you tonight's listeners who need a healing, and we pray redemption for all our loved ones. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And amen.
So, how is the ceasefire going between Lebanon and Israel?
Well, this particular agreement was actually done for a feather in the hat for Biden and France's Macron, who, by the way, hates Israel. And I understand threatened Netanyahu with severe international arms embargo if he didn't agree. Even though Bibi and many Israelis wanted Israel to stay in the fight till all of Hezbollah was put out of commission, which it is not yet. Granted, many leaders are gone and many weapons destroyed, but at this point, they can easily reconstitute in a short time span. And to help make Macron look fair, well, he agreed to not enforce the ICC's warrant against Bibi and his officials.
Well, how sweet of him.
Already, the IDF has caught Hezbollah sneaking into southern Lebanon as civilians with some back-and-forth attacks around the border. Started by Hezbollah, according to Israel, who says if it continues, we'll punish all of Lebanon, not just Hezbollah. Anyhow, Israel is supposed to slowly withdraw its troops as Lebanon's troops take over, securing the area south of the Litani River. Which has not begun well, for most know Lebanon is not capable of fully stopping Hezbollah. In fact, many actually work for Hezbollah undercover.
And get paid well to do it.
Yes, and by the way, the IDF also found lots of chemicals and gas masks, probably to use on any IDF soldier that they might capture. The good part is that now Israel can better concentrate on Gaza while relieving some soldiers, knowing the next administration is coming, which is why they agreed only to 60 days. And by the way, I was just thinking the other day and wondering why Trump didn't pick the ex-CIA's Mike Pompeo again this time for any position. So I just assumed that Trump knew something that we didn't.
Possibly of the deep state.
Possibly. And now Pompeo sided with Biden on the fact to send more money to Lebanon's army when we know it's going to Hezbollah, and sets Trump up to continue the deal already agreed to then by the United States.
And we can't forget about the West Bank.
Right, particularly Samaria, where last week Israel located a terror cell trying to smuggle in heavy weapons from Iran. So its Air Force carried out a rare but successful drone strike. And its Air Force also diverted a plane from Iran heading toward the Lebanon border with Syria, who turned around immediately upon Israel's suggestion. And President Trump hosted for dinner Mrs. Netanyahu last week while she was in Florida visiting her son.
That had to be a great conversation.
Mm-hmm. Also, we see that Trump is almost done picking his support team. And I was a little concerned over Scott Bessent's pick for Secretary of Treasury, being as he had previously worked with George Soros. But I'm really concerned about Dr. Jeanette Nishwat as Surgeon General, who I saw on a recent podcast, again, giving approval for the COVID shots, even to children as young as 5 years.
Well, Trump still does say the shots saved a lot of lives.
I know. That is his serious flaw. And because actually the shots have played a grave role in the deaths of many.
And still continues.
But people aren't connecting the dots.
As we knew would happen.
Well, maybe Trump chose her because her sister Julie is married to Mike Waltz, the future national security advisor.
I wonder, how will she get along with RFK?
He's probably not very happy, and honestly, I hope Dr. Nishwat does not get confirmed.
I agree.
Now, the other picks are pretty good, except maybe Elon Musk, who I wrote all about in last month's newsletter, which you probably have already read. And as we saw on Sunday, Joe Biden pardoned his son Hunter totally of all charges, just days away from being sentenced on the tax and gun issues. But also, his pardon exempts Hunter from any charges over the last 11 years, as in taking bribes from foreign countries.
You mean influence peddling?
Yes, especially during Biden's vice presidency. And there are many millions of dollars, as from Ukraine, Russia, China, and some others.
So in essence, Joe has pardoned himself as well.
Mm-hmm. Because Hunter was Joe's bagman.
Right.
Now, will he also pardon his brother James, who was a player with China, or any family member who took money? And many did, even his grandchildren.
What a terrible legacy Joe is leaving himself.
Not to mention what a great movie this will be someday, which will include the Trump era. Also included in that movie should be about the cover-up from the left-wing media, along with the DOJ, FBI, CIA, Department of State, and, of course, Obama, who was president. So he had to know.
He did make Joe an emissary to Ukraine.
That's right. And it was good to hear that Ukraine's Zelensky is now open to ceding some territory that Russia has now laid claim to in exchange for NATO's protection on the rest of Ukraine.
It's amazing to see how quickly things are changing.
Mm-hmm, it is. However, there is an uptick in Syria as the Syrian rebels have launched a surprise attack against Assad's regime by capturing most of Aleppo, which is Syria's second largest city, and it borders on northern Lebanon.
Why now?
Well, mostly because they can. Hezbollah left Syria to help the Hezbollah in Lebanon, so have been busy, and Russia left too, for Putin needs all the men he can muster for the Ukrainian war. And remember, we have U.S. bases in Syria, which proves another reason why we need to stay allies with Israel, who continue to do their part in Syria.
Okay, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, we could really use an extra end-of-the-year love offering right now to help with our expenses, which includes many research sources that aren't free, of course, that keep us on the air. And we are still a deductible charity on your taxes. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your continued learning.
Okay, let's talk about the 8-day Feast of Hanukkah that begins on Christmas this year, December 25th at sundown. As we said, this will be a two-part series, and then we will be taking a few weeks off over the holidays, returning on February 4th. However, an update on all the news will be in our next newsletter in the beginning of January. So let us begin, which I promise, especially if you are new to Shofar Ministries, that you will be amazed at just how much Christianity is interwoven into, well, actually all the feasts.
Yeah, and Hanukkah contains a huge gold nugget.
Oh, it does, without a doubt.
Okay, first, let's do a quick overview in a nutshell.
Yes, like a little summary for you to share this holiday season easily with others. And it goes like this. There are 7 major feasts and 2 minor feasts called Purim and Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not in the Old Testament because it hadn't happened yet, but Jesus mentions it in the New Testament. And Daniel does prophesy in chapters 9 and 11 about a coming wicked ruler over Israel, who we now know to be Antiochus Epiphanes, who sat in the Jewish temple and declared himself God.
That's called the abomination that makes desolate.
Yes, Daniel 9:27. He also put a statue of Zeus where normally God would sit in the Holy of Holies, and he even put his own face made of stone upon it. Jesus says in Matthew 24, this abomination will happen again in the latter days.
Yes, by the Antichrist.
Anyhow, back to his prototype, Antiochus Epiphanes. After a few years of his ruling, there finally came a Jewish revolt led by the Maccabees, whose leader was named Judah.
Imagine that.
They achieved victory and immediately began to clean the temple for the altar of incense, had even been sprinkled with pork urine.
A mess, to say the least.
However, the real miracle of Hanukkah for the Jewish people is the menorah. For as they were cleaning up the temple, they realized they only had enough oil for one day. And it takes a week to process the olives into a burning oil. The real marvel of Hanukkah is that God kept the menorah miraculously lit for 8 days. So, in remembrance, they made an 8-branch candlestick and also added an extra middle one.
Called the servant candle.
Yes, that's to light the other candles from right to left each night during this 8-day season.
Now, let's do some digging for the Christian remnant.
Okay. So, Hanukkah begins on the Jewish calendar every year on Kislev 24 at sundown. This year, on our Gregorian calendar, it falls on December 25th, which is the lighting of the first candle and continues adding one candle each evening for 8 days. Hanukkah was very much celebrated in Jesus' day and is recorded in John 10, verse 22, that Jesus was in the temple during the Feast of Dedication.
The Hebrew word for dedication is Hanukkah.
And to confirm it was Hanukkah, it states that it was in the winter. Maybe we should read that, John 10, verse 22.
Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
So, why make the assertion about being in the winter? Well, to differentiate that it was the Lesser Feast of Dedication, also called the Lesser Feast of Lights, and that's in the wintertime. Because the Greater Feast of Lights is celebrated in the fall, also called the Feast of Tabernacles.
Which just happens to be Jesus' real birth.
Real birth, yes. Therefore, we can see why Jesus picks this Hanukkah season to claim his deity openly for the first time. Think about this. 9 months earlier, actually 280 days or 40 weeks before his birth on Tabernacles, would be his incarnation, which I personally counted backwards and landed on the 8th day of Hanukkah.
That makes total sense. you know, when you see it.
Well, that's exactly how God works. He's just so detailed. And it's for his remnant to find this treasure.
A definite gold nugget.
Well, he hides it so we can find it. Proverbs 25:2.
As well, the number 8 is the number of Jesus.
And that's why Jesus specifically chose the 8th day of Hanukkah to say out loud,
I and my Father are one. John 10, verse 30.
He did. Nothing in Scripture is there by accident. God's details are enormously amazing. And we'll say it again, only a remnant of deep-thinking students will ever grasp this. It's like persistently digging for treasure and then finally being rewarded and being jubilant in knowing the Holy Spirit was leading you. Again, it's a fulfillment of Proverbs 25:2.
It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter.
Seek and you shall find.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 1 says, we are kings and priests when we cherish Yeshua. It's just so sad how many today just skim over the scriptures, if they even read them all.
Well, you know, laziness was prophesied in the church of Laodicea.
For sure. All right, now let's talk about the only light in the temple, the menorah, since it plays a vital role in this celebration. The menorah has 7 branches of oil lamps, and the Hanukkah has 8 branches, plus 1 servant branch, called the shamas. And that's how we differentiate.
So, it's either a menorah or a Hanukkah.
Yes. And a detailed description for the menorah can be found in Exodus 25, verses 31 through 40. And it was a perfect work of art beaten from one entire talent of pure gold.
You know, that's about 75 pounds.
Yeah. It has one main middle trunk called Ner Elohim,
meaning lamp of God,
with 3 branches on each side of this main stem. Every morning, the priests were to enter the holy place, also called the middle court, to replace the used oil in the bowls. Although all the branches of the menorah were the same height, with the same amount of oil, the middle shaft's flame would rise up higher than the others. In Revelation 1, John has a vision of Jesus standing in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands.
And in verse 20, he explains the 7 lampstands.
Yes, being the 7 churches.
So, the menorah symbolizes us.
It does, exactly. His complete church age from Jesus till he calls us up at the rapture.
Which then closes the church age.
It does. Also in Revelation 4, that we call the rapture chapter, John describes how he was called up to God's throne, and the 7 lamps are up there as well. So do you get it?
Yes. We're in heaven before chapter 6 when the seals are opened,
which begins the 7 years of tribulation on the earth. We are the lighted menorah in the temple of our body, whose light never goes out, because the menorah represents how the church, because of Jesus, is the light unto all the world. Another thing, isn't it interesting how Israel's coat of arms includes the menorah, which again to us is a type of his church, and placed it smack dab in the middle of 2 olive branches. And that's based on the vision of Zechariah 4. But besides olives producing the oil for the menorah, what is the olive tree a type of?
Well, according to Romans 11, it's Judaism, our Hebrew roots.
Right. There would be no Christianity without the root of Jesus.
Therefore, had to be born Jewish.
Exactly. You know, everyone should ask themselves, do you have this oil? Is your light shining? Light is meant to be shared, not hidden under a bushel.
Mark 4:21.
Mm-hmm. We are that temple for the light, that lampstand that Revelation 1:20 confirms we are. Are you defiling your temple like Antiochus Epiphanes did with idols in your life, where darkness is encompassing the light, soon to extinguish it? If so, repent. Revive yourself so to overcome the dark forces prevalent in these very last days. That bushel of Mark 4 represents the cares of this life.
Yes.
Because the cares of one's life will take precedence over spending time with Jesus, thereby consuming a person so much that one's light is eclipsed.
You know, and we're all guilty.
Well, it's high time to beware and to prioritize your time.
So, how about some clarifying history?
Okay. There have been 6 world empires.
Egypt was first, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome.
And at the close of the Old Testament period, the Medes and the Persians were taken over by the Greek Alexander the Great in 336 BC, who was trained by Aristotle from age 13 and became very wise, conquering the entire empire by the age of 21.
That's unimaginable.
However, he soon became depressed, for there was nothing left for him to conquer except China and India, which he was unable to do. Therefore, began drinking heavily.
He did reshape the world before dying. Just 13 years later, from a fever at age 33 in 323 B.C.
As prophesied hundreds of years earlier by Daniel in chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. And 15 years after Alexander died, the Grecian Empire was divided amongst his 4 generals due to not having any living heirs.
Yeah, because they were all murdered.
They were. And it was the northeastern area that included Israel, Lebanon, Syria, and Babylon under the leadership of the Seleucids from Syria. And by the way, later, between 165 B.C., the Romans finished conquering all 4 divisions and ruled when Jesus was born at the turn of the century. But for this story, we need to back up a few years to 175 B.C. when the son of Antiochus III, Seleucus IV, while ruling the northeastern area, was poisoned by his own trusted minister.
Therefore, his brother Antiochus IV was given the rulership.
Who had been raised in Rome. And that is a key clue for us today. Antiochus had been taken hostage as a child, but is now released by Rome to replace his brother Seleucus after much ransom and a promise to be Rome's ally, and that he was.
So now Israel was ruled by Emperor Antiochus IV.
Also called Epiphanes, which means God manifest, a name he chose for himself, indicating his arrogance. But later, he became known as Epimanes, which means madman, in response to his cruelty. Again, keep in mind, he actually came from Rome, being raised there, and is a type of the Antichrist. So, coming from Rome, but not born there, is something to ponder concerning typology and the coming of Antichrist. Anyhow, we'll continue this next week, but let me ask you, do you want to escape his soon coming wrath? Just say yes. Fully believe in Jesus and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you total peace. And that's from number 6. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. See you next time. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.